Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, March 30th, 2010 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stegel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Inclaria, LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And it's kind of hard to influence change without having information about what people think, what they're feeling in the organization, especially as far as change is concerned. And so today, my guest is Laura Fortas of Suggestion Guru, and she's here to talk about employee feedback. Specializing in innovative year-round employee engagement solutions, Laura Fortas provides tools to support not just an employee engagement as a but an organization's efficiency, overall corporate environment, and goals. Prior to starting Suggestion Guru, Laura was the Senior Research Director at Insight Link Communications, specializing in employee engagement surveys. And before that, she was a Market Research Director for Pellegrin Gray Research in Los Angeles. Laura received her Bachelor's in American Studies from Tufts University and her Master's in Communications Management from the Annenberg School for Communications at the University of Southern California. And in fact, she's joining us from California, so it's bright and early there for her. So Laura, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be able to talk to people about feedback, even if
Great.
It is early here.
So just in the beginning, we should talk about what are we talking about when we say employee feedback today, and what's the purpose? Why would you want to collect it?
Well, you know, that's a good question, especially nowadays when, you know, a lot of people feel like they're lucky to have a job, and that's the attitude from senior leadership. But there are a lot of bottom-line advantages to collecting employee feedback, not just ones that relate to engagement or morale, as is commonly thought of, but that if you extrapolate their results, really have concrete impact on saving money, saving time, making more money. You know, a lot of things that if senior leadership thought about it are important to them. So employees want to be heard. They want to be taken seriously. And, you know, as we've heard the cliche, you know, employees are, or no organization's human and intellectual capital. Yet we rarely fully utilize them. If your Xerox machine or your computers were working at 40% or 50%, you would find that unacceptable. Yet organizations routinely allow their employees to be underutilized. They may not think about it, but when you look at what they have to offer, they really are. So asking for input, something that can motivate your workforce, certainly create that greater sense of engagement, and you get people excited about it. They feel more connected to an organization, and that connection is extremely valuable and is part of what translates into that bottom line impact on the financial success of an organization. And organizations that effectively use the feedback, they end up getting input that saves money, makes them more money. That can be increasing productivity, streamlining processes, improving efficiencies, uncovering training needs, certainly decreasing conflict, improving customer service, and, you know, revealing some innovative problem-solving abilities rather than just pulling in expensive consultants. You can actually use that human and intellectual capital on site to make some differences.
Sure, ask the people who already know instead of bringing someone in and paying them to tell
Absolutely.
You what they know.
Absolutely.
Right. So my history, my experience, and when I think of employee feedback, I think of the employee survey, like satisfaction surveys or even something like 360 feedback, that kind of thing. But you talk about it being more than just you know, once a year or something like that when we have conversations prior to this
conversation.
Now. So when would you want to collect feedback?
Well, you know, as we've talked about and as you know from my background, I came from market research, began to specialize in employee engagement surveys. And at InsightLink, they do the, you know, some great work, including a well-known engagement survey. And that tends to happen once a year, sometimes every other year. And what I was finding is that when I'd keep in touch with clients, find out how they're doing, how their action planning is going, that things weren't happening throughout the year, and that I had a realization that we weren't getting, for the managers and for the, you know, sort of day-to-day impact employees, the kind of feedback that they need. The feedback about the, you know, ubiquitous Wednesday afternoon staff meeting that everyone dreads and could be run more efficiently, or the feedback about, you know, day-to-day happenings between departments or managers. I mean, it was all sort of high-level stuff that an engagement survey gets to, whereas, you know, people were, I don't want to say suffering, I don't want to make it sound so dramatic, but the organization's efficiency was suffering over the feedback that happens or should be happening on a day-to-day or weekly basis or as-needed basis. And there are lots of consultants that come in and can tell you best practices in doing feedback, on delivering feedback, and work with managers and work with leaders. But I found that it's kind of like telling people to eat, you know, 7 servings of fruit and vegetables today. You kind of need to get them to, you know, maybe have 1 or 2. That, and especially nowadays when people are so afraid for their jobs and they don't want to rock the boat, giving people anonymity year-round as a way to get the conversation started was really important. So my belief is that this should not replace an annual engagement survey or even pulse surveys, but that that some sort of sophisticated version of the old-fashioned suggestion box needed to occur. And when I started doing some research, I discovered that there, surprisingly, you know, there are already a few good tools out there to support that, to support doing that. And they each have pros and cons. So my belief is that you put something in place, and this can literally cost as little as $15 a month for your whole organization, but put something in place to allow for feedback from your employees year-round. And to give them some guidelines, you know, I think you had the author of QBC on that kind of talked about asking what questions and how questions as opposed to finger-pointing how questions and who and why.
I think.
And why. But give some kind of guidelines that enable people, employees, to ask, instead of saying, when am I going to lose my job at the water cooler, what can I do as an employee to show my productivity so I keep my job? Asking things where they can make an impact and show their value and yet express their concern in a way that's more productive. So I believe that at a minimum, organizations should have some sort of virtual suggestion box type tool, and ideally move to where all their employees are empowered to ask proactively for feedback from their colleagues, from their managers, so that feedback isn't the stuff of, you know, once a year performance reviews that are invariably a dread for managers, dread for those getting them. They're linked to they tend to be linked to compensation. So those take on a whole different role. While they are feedback, that's, I don't think, what people need day to day or on a weekly basis. People should be able to get feedback and ideally give feedback to improve an organization and their professional growth all year round.
Great. So what are some of the things that someone who wants to collect feedback should be thinking about as they try to implement something like this?
Well, depending on whether you're an individual or an organization or where you're coming from, when I talk to clients, a lot of times when I'm talking to clients, I'm talking to the person in HR, so I'll come at it from that angle. When I'm talking about an organization feedback, I have to, just like as if I was doing an engagement survey, I have to ask them a lot of questions about their culture and their senior leadership attitudes and what they're trying to achieve, because different tools offer different advantages. Some are like there's one out of Toronto that I happen to really like called Ripple. That offers that's exclusively anonymous, two-way, proactive, wonderful tool, and extremely confidential and anonymous, which is great. Some organizations prefer something where they can have an option of anonymity, which Input Ladder, which is another tool, and others offer, where the employee, depending on whether it's something that they want to be associated with, maybe a suggestions for a process improvement or something where, you know, they want to put their name to it versus something that's more an inquiry and could be construed as more risky.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's something to think about. Whether it's going to be just, whether it's something that's going to funnel through HR, you know, one person exclusively, or whether it's something where they're going to give a tool to empower their managers. One of the advantages of the feedback tools that I propose is that whereas a lot of times managers are kind of fearful of employee surveys because they feel like they're being judged and rated,
mm-hmm.
but it's HR and and senior management that gets the results. There's some tools like Ripple and coworkers.com that enable managers to kind of seize the opportunity to show that they're committed to personal and professional growth, and that I have an open door policy, or you know, I want transparency. That they walk the talk. So if they're a manager, I tend to want to fit them with something that optimizes their experience and what they get out of it. Versus if an HR department comes to me. Something like idea scale is something that I use that's great for organizations that are trying to do some brainstorming and idea generation. It enables anonymity or lack of anonymity, and it also gives the person who's the administrator the ability to monitor feedback as it comes in. So some organizations are concerned that someone's going to say something that's off color, inappropriate, and an idea scale is something that can be customized to put a bit more control in the hands of an HR person. So, depending on anonymity versus non-anonymity versus options, what they're trying to achieve, whether it's more in their early stages, just a place to kind of vent and test the waters, or if they're more sophisticated and they're really looking for innovative ideas for their employees. And one of the nice things about what I do, and one of the things that the reasons that I started it is, you're not locked into any feedback tool. When I've worked at companies in the past, understandably, they want you to sell what they sell, and which makes perfect sense and is completely appropriate. However, for someone like me who gets really excited about feedback and really wants to do the right thing by my clients, I wanted to be able to say sometimes, we're right for 95% of the people, but for that 5%, I wanted to be able to fit them, say, well, check out this competitor. What I do now is I can say, okay, for where you are right now, Ripple is, the right tool. Let's get you set up with that. But as time goes on, they might, be better suited with adding on or replacing it with an idea scale, something that's a little bit more public, for instance. Whatever it is, and I'm just using that as an example, that mm-hmm. on a quarterly basis, I reassess what people are doing and see, is that still what's right for them? Or have they changed, or their needs changed, or how people are using it changed, so that people aren't locked into something
sure.
that may not fit them. You know, people grow, organizations grow. Just like my weight, it goes up and down. Sometimes I need something bigger. Sometimes I need something smaller. And it's nice to be able to offer different size tools and different types of tools to meet an organization's changing needs.
Okay. And there were a couple of terms that you used a few minutes ago that I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, sure.
One was you said that Ripple was two-way versus
oh, sure.
what? And what does that mean?
Okay, what that means is that if you can imagine an old wooden suggestion box and you stick a, you know, you stick a note in there and it's just going one way, or email, you know, might, you know, like if you send something to someone that's that would be anonymous, that's one way.
So it kind of
Ripple allows, pardon me?
So it kind of disappears into the ether?
Yeah, it kind of disappears, whether something happens to it or not, no one knows. With Ripple, it enables you to have anonymous two-way feedback. So, for instance, if I say, you know, if I say Heather, you know, or if I send a note to Heather, I say, Heather, I love your energy at the meetings. How can I help, how can I help them be 15 minutes shorter, you know, so that, you know, we have more, you know, more time for other work, whatever, you know, whatever it is. You could send something back also anonymously saying, you know, thanks for your feedback. I maybe, you know, let me look at us having an agenda or staying more on topic or something, you know, something of that. And it would be, that's a two-way loop. So you're able to respond also anonymously. With some, so I mentioned that sort of publicly posted, that could be available to the whole team. So, for instance, if you decided, you know, as the manager, you know, this anonymous person had this suggestion, and you know, for improving, you know, how can we improve our meetings or stay more on topic? I want our team to know that that's something we're working on. You could post it so that that whole team could know that someone, you know, someone expressed wanting to shorten the meetings. The manager addressed it, saying, "Let's, you know, let me be more cognizant about staying more on topic." And there's a level of accountability, and also creating a sense that there's going to be some action, there's going to be some movement. No one, you know, before you go and, you know, kvetch incessantly at the water cooler about this, know something's happening or something might be happening. And it gives people a sense of moving forward and that they can affect change on the things that, you know, impact them at their organization, at least sometimes, however small.
Mm-hmm. One step at a time.
Yes, yes. So, you know, ideally everyone would be able to just go next door to their manager and, you know, tell it like it is and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But most people they're not there. And I don't think
right.
most people will ever be there. As long as there's a power differential and hierarchy and fear of losing one's job or mm-hmm. looking bad or putting yourself at risk, that, you know, it's human nature to protect oneself. And so why not give them the tools to at least help them along their way?
And that's a nice segue into my next question, I think. What are some of the common mistakes that people make when collecting feedback?
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of those, and a lot of mistakes that people make. Certainly one of the things that's, you know, kind of a higher level concern is when you're collecting feedback, you don't think about all the parties involved. That's the feedback giver, the feedback receiver, the person, you know, footing the bill for the feedback. I mean, there are lots of interested parties. But more commonly, what I see is a common mistake is, or I don't know if I'd call it a mistake, but not creating a situation where you mitigate that lack of trust or fear by participants. You know, if participants are afraid to provide feedback, if managers are resistant to getting the feedback because they fear what it means, you know, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
So an effective way to reduce that kind of anxiety is to use a neutral third-party tool to get your feedback. Certainly for surveys, anonymity and confidentiality is paramount. But for feedback tools, you can't really – I don't think you can really have a feedback tool if you don't at least have some optional anonymity. Lack of senior-level support – a common problem. If leaders in your organization don't support and encourage participation and feedback, and say they believe in its benefits, this tool won't be well utilized. And that's probably the biggest challenge that I see in getting things is showing senior management the bottom line value to getting it, and that it's not going to reflect badly on them, that it's going to be an advantage as opposed to them just seeing it as an opportunity for mayhem and, the
anarchy.
Employees are going to rebel and, yeah, there's going to be anarchy and people are just going to be, complaining about them. And that's, and sometimes we see that in surveys. You see senior managers singled out, so it's not unfounded. But do they really want all of that just being talked about at the water cooler? It isn't like employees are silent. It's just a matter of wouldn't you rather know it and hear it and deal with it than just have your employees wasting time you're paying them for doing it behind your back?
Mm-hmm.
Lack of communication about feedback tools, just like in surveys, if you don't communicate with the people giving the feedback and the people getting the feedback about, what, why, how, when, where, they won't be comfortable using the tool. So you really do need to get buy-in throughout the organization to make tools work. Also, inappropriate delivery of feedback, certainly, the idea of feedback, whether it be surveys or 360s or virtual suggestion boxes, you ultimately want your employees to perform better. So negative feedback can be pretty demoralizing, counterproductive, and it does happen. So if you don't set up appropriate guidelines and boundaries for delivering feedback, it can backfire, which is one of the reasons that I like certain tools that allow for someone to ultimately not monitor, but certainly censor inappropriate feedback.
Mm-hmm.
There's some times in some organizations for which that's appropriate and important, and so that is available. So, and setting up the best practices, like we talked about, asking the what questions and the how questions, as opposed to the, whiny, why, who, when types of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say those are the ones that come to mind as most common mistakes people and organizations make about collecting the feedback.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, because we have a few more minutes here, the impact or how does this feedback affect the culture of an organization or what kinds of cultures would this most benefit or...
Sure.
Like that.
Well, certainly the ones that are most amenable, there tends to be there are some certainly age and generational differences, and since I'm over 40, I can say that I feel sort of in the middle, that the feedback tends to be craved and more welcome and more appreciated by organizations that have a pool of younger employees, more that 20s, 30s, even early 40s part, and I do see a little bit more resistance to if you're entrenched in a way of doing things or if you have a style of approaching feedback that feels threatening or unconventional or not what you're used to, whether you're a doctor or engineer or a lawyer or a blue-collar worker, you know, human nature is you don't want to learn something new. You don't want to do something where you're rocking the boat and having to consider a new way of doing things. So it does tend to skew younger. It certainly, for the tools that I use, does unfortunately tend to skew with people with internet access. Although I've done a lot of surveys, and in fact I was doing one yesterday for organizations where you're dealing with paper surveys or people without email or internet access, these tools are really designed for organizations that are primarily or entirely ones that have where each person has their own email or at least internet access on a regular basis. You know, attitudinally, you've got to have a pretty strong advocate in place, whether that be HR or senior leadership, that's committed to taking a risk on hearing things that they may not want to hear initially. So certainly cultures that are more innovative, you know, open, willing to take a chance on what they get, are going to tend to appreciate this tool more than ones that are sort of entrenched or micromanaging. And another thing that I ask of, you know, in terms of evaluating whether the tool is right for them is, there are certain tools that are designed to put feedback in the hands of managers. So if you have a senior leadership that's very, that tends to be more micromanaging, or HR wants to be everything to go through them, that particular type of tool is not going to work for them. I have one tool that I really like is called coworkers.com. That's something that individuals or consultants can use, and they can pay for themselves. It's pretty reasonable. It's like $39 a year. And that puts the feedback, that's a feedback tool that enables you to get feedback year-round and have it travel with you throughout your career. So if I see an organization where, you know, that it doesn't really work well for them to, for the organization to have a feedback tool, I can always suggest to them that they make optionally available to their managers who, you know, pay for it as opposed to the organization, a reasonably priced feedback tool. So at least managers who are committed, because sometimes you have managers who are committed, sometimes you have managers who are not, that they can have a tool that they can use while they're at their organization, but, you know, since it carries with them, obviously, the organization wouldn't pay for it. The other advantage of that for some organizations is that if you're an organization and you're paying for a feedback tool and the managers aren't using it, you're going to be resentful. And if your manager's not using it and their employees are expecting change to happen, then they're going to be resentful. So It's really important that there be sort of widespread commitment to change for an organization to take on a tool for itself. If not, it really needs to be, something that individual managers who want to shine and stand out from the crowd and benefit from feedback tools do on their own.
Great. So I want to let everybody know that Laura has created a one-page summary called Feedback Favorites. Some of these tools are listed, and it's available at the Enclaria website, or it will be shortly. Just visit www.enclaria.com and find the blog post that says Employee Feedback with the Suggestion Guru, and you can download the one-page PDF with all this information on it there. The next show, well, actually, before I say that, thank you, Laura, for being here. I appreciate
oh,
it. You have
welcome.
Loads of information about employee feedback. So I was very glad to have you on the show. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next show is coming up on Tuesday, April 13th, 2010, at 11 a.m. Eastern. In the meantime, if you would like to see how we might work together to influence change in your organization and also to pick up, like I said, that one-page summary of feedback tools, please visit www.enclaria.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.